Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
To the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We are here to
live the dream.
Live the dream and belly to back suplex our way through the work week.
I wish someone would do that to me.
Yeah.
Belly to back suplex me through my work week.
So, I mean, it's really the only way to do it, honestly. Yeah. Well, we are coming off of the three-part series of the Black Cube, Cult of the Black Cube, Saturnian Cult. If you didn't listen to that, definitely recommend. Wild ride. Today, our episode had a little listener involvement. So on the night shift a couple weeks back, I gave everybody the option, three things I was going to look into. I think they were Yuba County 5, the Hopkinsville Goblins, or Disney conspiracies, and we let the chat vote. And they voted for what we're diving into today. That is the Kelly Hopkinsville Goblins. I'm probably going to say that wrong 150,000 times, but I'm sure one of you will tell me about it.
Well, of course they will. It's what they're here for.
On that note,
they're fact checkers.
True. On that note, makes it a good idea to be in the lives for the night shift because you might get to be part of something a little special, more special than normal, like choosing what I'm going to look into. But before we get into it, before we get into these little goblins, we have to get through the business. So check us out at all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Join the community. Be part of the cult. It's a whole thing. You know the drill. If you'd like to, or if you have a paranormal experience you'd like to feature on a future show, Kyle has some information you're going to want.
I do. And we could never have too many stories. So if you're hesitant on sharing your story, please don't. Please send it over. Having more is obviously better. But you can write your story out. Even record yourself if you wish. Send it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can call or text the holophone, 618-556-0837. We have a P.O. box you can mail stuff to. But all of that is in the show notes. Probably easier if for you to do that. All you got to do is just click on the information, little show note button there, and it's all there for you. You can write it down, screenshot it, whatever you got to do, and it'll aid you on your quest.
On your quest.
The life quest.
Your path to submitting your experience.
The Hollow Sky path.
If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways to do it. We have a Patreon. You know how that works. There's a backlog of extra episodes. You get our regular episodes early, free of ads, the whole nine. We have a store, hollowskypodcast.com. Click the store tab. Tons of Hollow merch you can rep the Hollow Cult in. Best thing you can do, share the show. Word of mouth. You know the drill. Keep going. Share it on all the socials. Share it to your neighbors. Send out smoke signals. Use mirrors to reflect the sun. Whatever you can do.
Yeah, that way. Get the show out. That way, we're famous. We can do it full time and take video of Steve dabbing everywhere we go. That's haunted. Finding Bigfoot. It's just going to be Steve running through the woods doing the dab.
I'm dabbing right now.
He is. And he's got like the best dab that I've ever seen.
Yeah. So. Let's get us to that point. Let's do what we can do.
Or I'll just start videotaping Steve dabbing, and then that's just going to be like all forms of advertisement for the show.
It'll go directly to the Patreon. Directly to the Patreon. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It is always helpful, and it's always good to kind of get some positive feedback. We get a lot of negative feedback, too, but you all can suck it. So
Dubstep sucks. Yeah. It's still my fucking favorite.
Today's comes to us from our friend Liz Santon. Liz says, one of the best 5 stars. I've been listening to Hollow Sky for the last 3 years, and every week I look forward to your new episodes. Love you guys. Thanks for your honesty, love, and dedication to your listeners. Never change. Heart, Melissa. Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time to leave us those kind words. Sending you a heart emoji back with my hands.
Much love.
Yes, it's always much good love to hear people that have found us and enjoy us.
Yeah.
And have stuck with us. 3 years is a long time to listen to us too.
That is a long time.
Blue collar bumpkins talk about weird shit. Speaking of which, today's episode, boy oh boy, we are back in Kentucky. So
I'm ready for it.
It's gonna get weird.
Kentucky is definitely a weird place.
Yeah, beautiful place.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But strange. So let's get right into it. Our story takes place on the evening of August 21st, 1955. 5 adults and 7 children, a whole gaggle of Kentuckians, if you will, arrived at the Hopkinsville police station, claiming that they were under siege from small alien creatures that emerged from a spaceship, and they were attacking their farmhouse. This farmhouse was located between the towns of Kelly and Hopkinsville. Kelly's not really a town. It's more of just like an incorporated area where people live. It's got like a church and like 2 houses, I think they said. But it's kind of in the middle there.
Densely populated.
Yes. They told the police that they had been holding off the aliens with gunfire for nearly 4 hours.
That's, you know what? That's probably where they got the movie idea, Cowboys and Aliens.
Probably.
I will guarantee it.
Probably. Which they did. They did take some.
Or you think it's just the Kentucky version of that movie?
This happened before. 1955 was before Cowboy and Aliens.
Well, I still stand by my statement.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But it did have a big impact on culture, which I get into toward the end.
Of course it did. Because, thank God.
But yeah. So
I think I am just as equally curious of how it impacted culture. Okay, or the encounter itself.
So this farmhouse is one owned by Miss Glennie Langford. Other people there were her children, Lonnie, Carlton, and Mary, 2 sons from a previous marriage, Elmer, Lucky Sutton, and John Charlie, J.C. Sutton,
Elmer,
and their respective wives, Vera and Aileen. Aileen's brother, O.P. Parker, and Billy Ray Tucker and his wife, June, were also there. Both the Taylors, Lucky, and Vera Sutton were reportedly members of a traveling carnival.
Oh, shit.
So they were just there to visit.
Okay.
So the list of characters...
Is dude's name actually OP?
Yes. I don't know what OP stands for. But, yeah.
I'm just curious because it's definitely interesting.
So they were all... This is a two-bedroom farmhouse, or a two-room farmhouse, too. So you got 12 people.
Oh, wow.
Five adults, seven children. They'd all came over for dinner, and they were all just kind of chilling, playing cards. When our dude, Billy Ray, a little bit after 7 p.m., about an hour after the sun went down, decided to go out and get some water from the well. As he was coming back, he saw what he referred to as a strange flashing rainbow-esque light in the sky that he said landed just past the tree line. He runs back into the house and tells everyone he's seen a flying saucer. Well, Billy was sort of a jokester, so nobody really took him very seriously at this point.
The boy that cried wolf.
Yeah, boy who cried rainbow.
UFO.
Alien flying saucer.
Rainbow.
The one thing you'll notice about one thing you'll notice about the story is that the versions of it are they are just numerous and infinite because nobody can get right as to what possibly happened. So you have to take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt. Right here, the story seems to split kind of not importantly because it just weaves its way back in. But anyway, about an hour later, Billy Ray, in one version, convinces Lucky to go outside to investigate where this flying saucer had landed. In another version, the Langsford's dogs began to freak out outside. Billy Ray and Lucky went outside to check on them and see what was causing this. Regardless of the reasoning, Billy Ray and Lucky go out in the yard to see what's up. But they're good old Kentucky boys, so they took tools for investigating.
Of course they did.
Being so, a 22 caliber rifle and a 20 gauge shotgun.
Always with the 22s.
Yeah. It's probably a good thing they did, because as soon as they made it out into the yard, they saw a strange, strange creature approaching them across the yard from the tree line. They described this creature as being 3 to 4 feet tall, silver in color, having long, spindly, short arms, clawed hands on the arms. They had large yellow eyes, large pointed bat-like ears, and their mouths were long and thin, just like a slit across its face. As the creature approached, both men reported that it had its hands up and like a I'm not a threat, don't shoot me kind of pose as it's walking across the yard. But
I hope to God they shot it.
They weren't having any part of that because there's kids in the house. Oh. So they immediately fired on the creature.
I saw this coming from a fucking mile away. I just, if you didn't hear, I was belly laughing when he's like, the creature walked over and put its hands in the air like, hey, I'm a good guy. And I knew without a fraction of a doubt, those two were just going to start shooting the poor thing. Said,
fuck you are, boy.
Wow.
Oh, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's so perfect. They definitely fired on the creature. They reported to hit it because they said when they did, it made an odd metallic sound, like a ping noise.
Oh, shit.
When they struck it.
That's no bueno. That's not good.
But they said that they don't think they did any damage to it because it immediately dropped down onto all fours and ran into the woods.
Okay. That just took a hard turn into a very creepy direction.
You'll notice that the way these things move
is like the girl from The Ring.
Oh, it gets crazier because they all move differently.
Oh, they all have patented moves.
So there's more than one, which you'll see.
What is it? Just the suit that protects them?
Nobody knows because they didn't say. They said it didn't really look like it had a suit on. They said it looked essentially looked biological, but when they shot it, that's when they heard the
pinging
metallic
noise.
Sound. Yeah. So this, of course, spooked Billy Ray and Lucky. They ran back into the house, essentially telling everyone the tale of what is outside and why they were just shooting their guns off in the front yard. Not wanting the children to be scared of what they were hearing, Glennie sent them off into the back room to bed. At this point, Glennie was like, okay, these two dudes are just playing a prank on us. They're going through all these great lengths of making the story up, firing off their guns to like maybe spook their wives a little bit. And again, Billy Ray was notorious for being a prankster. But as Glennie stood there thinking like, man, this is an awful lot for them to be going through, she looks out the back door and she sees a figure about 3 feet tall looking through the doorway. Glennie screamed and everyone came running. Billy Ray, locked and loaded, shoots directly through the screen door at the creature.
That's awesome.
Which disappears, not like in a poof, but just kind of goes into the darkness. He gets curious.
He's a hero.
He gets curious, like, did I hit this thing? Where did it go? He steps out onto the porch. When he does,
they nab him.
The people from the inside sees a claw hand reach down from the roof, reaching at his hair.
What the hell?
Yeah.
This is like out of a bad horror movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Luckily, Aileen.
He had cat-like reflexes.
No, he had his lady. Oh. Aileen, thinking like this creature's got some terrible intent, not just trying to check Billy Ray's pompadour, see what's going on. Like this creature was malicious here, grabs Billy, pulls him back inside.
Oh, I thought she was going to hit it with a rolling pan or cut it with a knife.
Lucky's on it. He got his 22. He slips out, aims his gun at the roof, pops off some shots.
Ping, ping.
The creature he hits rolls off the roof and just floats into the woods.
What the hell?
Uninjured.
I envision some idiot like steamrolling off the roof. And then before it hits the ground, like a hoverboard, he just hovers and then just goes zoop, skirt, off into the brush.
Yeah. Apparently uninjured again. Uninjured again. Your weapons are useless against them.
That's got to be slightly disheartening at that point to be popping shots. And I just feel like this is like a 1930s version of Die Hard at this point.
Oh, yeah. They do die hard, I'll tell you that much. Shortly after, they're in the living room. A pair of glowing eyes and a set of clawed hands appear at the window. JC grabbed the 20 gauge and blows it through the window. Close behind, Billy Ray popping them off too. They struck this creature as well, which is reported to backflip off into the woods.
Looking awesome.
Yeah, and you could
I love how they all like now I just envision the goblins as the Ninja Turtles. And then they just all do some type of move to get away.
I hope so.
It is the most ridiculous thing that I've heard in our field right now.
I mean, how else are you gonna?
My favorite though is the steamroller off the roof into hoverboard maneuver and just glide away.
It's got to be the point where the Langfords are just like, what is happening right now?
That is like my favorite visual right now is that scenario.
So obviously the onslaught of gunfire causes the children to wake up and get nervous. So Glennie sits down. She's a God-fearing Kentucky woman. She begins to pray to try to get the kids all together. So Lucky's like, listen, we're gonna have the ladies take the children in the back room, hide them, get them under some blankets in case one of these things make it inside. Lucky and Billy Ray go back out again while the rest remain inside. JC standing, he's standing at the door, gun ready. So they're all surveying the area. Someone yells to look up at the maple tree right outside the yard. This time, everyone could clearly see one of the, quote, little men perched on a branch above them. They shot at it, but instead of falling, it just floated off into the woods.
Of course it did.
The noise they heard when they fired at it, or the noise they heard when they fired at another one coming around the corner of the house, again sounded like bullets hitting metal. When that one was struck, it floated up into the air and into the woods as well, furthering the fact that the family is now realizing that their weapons are useless against them.
No, this is an elaborate carnival game.
Ah, the
that's
ping noise.
What it is.
They do work for the carnival.
That's
they're
what
testing
I'm saying.
Out a new. We're gonna have to. We're
that's
putting
what
that,
I'm saying.
Putting that in theory. In the theories.
I like
part,
that.
Portion
yeah,
of the
yeah,
episode
yeah, for sure.
Obviously, this made them run back into the house. They're collecting their thoughts. You know, like, what are these things? Are they goblins? Them being God-fearing people, are they demons? When they raised their hand, were they really being peaceful? But if they are, why were they trying to grab people? Why do they keep coming back after they're being shot?
Because you fucking shot them.
Yeah, like
that's why they're trying to grab you. Like, what do you... I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't the right decision. However, your actions, unbeknownst to you, do have consequences.
Yes.
When you just shoot first, ask questions later, this is how it turns out. You've got hoverboard goblins floating around your property.
Back
at this
flipping.
Point. Yeah.
Bro, think about poor Glennie. She just in there, just cooked him a big, like, 76-course meal for the carny workers that came in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these motherfuckers just start shooting through the walls and the windows
yeah.
of their house.
Backflips are happening.
Wow, blah.
Hoverboards. It's too much. It's just too much.
She's poor, like...
I feel for her at this
poor
point.
Glennie. So, noting that their bullets do not have any effect, they don't even scare the intruders off, someone pointed out...
No, it makes them float off, though.
True. Backflip off.
Backflip or float.
Someone noticed that bright lights do scare them and seem to hurt their large yellow eyes. Whenever a light came on, the beings would back away into the shadows. So, they turn on every light in the house.
Smart choice.
Probably the ones they haven't shot out yet.
Smart choice.
One of the children began to cry, clearly, because it's just fucking chaos at this point. Lucky was sitting there trying to think of what he was going to do next when they heard scratching from the roof. So now they're back on the roof again. Lucky bops out, sees another one, shoots it. The being floats down again, scrambles out on all fours behind the trees, unharmed like the other goblins.
What a little creep.
Yeah. At this point, they pretty much used any kind of weapons at their disposal, and they don't have a solution to what's going on. Clearly, they don't have anything that's gonna do any damage. They can hold them off with the light a little bit, but they're essentially like imprisoned in their home. So the boys went out, checked around. Immediately got the kids and the women together, piled into the truck as fast as they can. This is where they end up at the police station. The sergeant working the front desk at the Hopkinsville police station wasn't sure what to say to a dozen people that walked into his station at midnight, quoting, "We need help. We've been fighting little silver men for over 4 hours." That's a hard pill to swallow. But seeing the people and the crying children, he knew, obviously, something was fucking going on.
Well, yeah. Any decent cop is going to be like, okay, I may not believe that there are little silver people running around this person's property. Might be a couple moonshiners, meth heads, whatever. Something is going on, and it's probably in my best interest to go check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Which, once he heard this... He called his chief, Russell Greenwell, who in turn radioed the Kentucky State Police, the Christian County Sheriff's Office, and the Fort Campbell Army Base, which dispatched its own police personnel.
All right, so now that's a red flag as fuck for me.
Almost 25 officers from all over, including a U.S. military base, showed up, followed them back to their home.
Yeah, that. I mean, come on. I hate to sound this way. I don't want to, like, essentially be misleading or anything of that, but that almost sounds like we've dealt with this before.
It's sus.
100%. You don't just call the fucking military because some person comes into your station and goes, I've been shooting little silver dudes for 4 hours. Most cops in today's world would either drug test you or arrest you because you literally just said you shot stuff. You shot a person.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't.
They're like, hang
lock
on.
Lock them up or hang anything.
On. I'm calling the boys. We're getting the boys ready.
We're going to call Stateys in.
Yeah. We're getting the military involved. Isn't there a religious aspect going on here? Didn't you say something about what group?
No, the Christian County Sheriff's Office.
Oh, yeah, I heard yeah. Christian. I assumed religion.
So he's got his own men, the county boys, the state boys, and the federal boys.
Yeah, he's got the boys rallied. They're ready to go raise some hell.
Yeah, a local newspaper reporter was also in the police station at the time. So within the hour, there was a lot of people that descended on the farm along with the family.
Yeah, they're ready to wage war.
Yes. Authorities searched the property with flashlights but found no sign of the little men. Only bullet holes in the window screens and the doors, plenty of shotgun shell casings. One officer noticed something glowing in the woods, but then when they went out to search it, they didn't find anything. The ground beneath an area where Lucky had reported to have shot one of the alleged beings appeared to have been stained with something that gave off an iridescent glow when viewed from a particular angle. So almost like maybe, first you want to think blood, but if it's just a sheen from an angle, it almost sounds like some sort of oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is bizarre.
That means the goblins are oily creatures.
Yeah, or robots.
Or robots.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward robots now.
I'm thinking like a super oily, greasy skin.
I was thinking like motor oil. hydraulic fluid. Yeah. Like, it's like the episode that you did about the dude up in the tree.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as you said that in the beginning about them shooting and it going ting, that's what I thought of. I thought of the robot episode, the robot aliens.
The officers questioned each family member separately, but all they got was the same consistent description of the night's events. After hours of fruitless investigation, the police left. So that in itself, everybody being on the same page.
That's a lot of different pages, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Is weird, especially when the encounter is so bizarre. Like, it is out there when it comes to the annals of ufology, right?
Oh, I agree.
Like, you are literally, there's a war waging, kind of a one-sided war, because I mean, the little robot goblins are like, yo, hey, we're cool. And the old boy's like, no, you ain't cool.
Yeah. You're going to get shot, boy.
Yeah. The saliva song Click, Click, Boom is written exactly about this.
I hope so.
I made that up, so don't quote me.
I hope it was playing as soon as
it was.
As soon as it teed off.
Lucky had his headphones in. He's
like, he just click, click, and he just reenacted it and shot.
Yeah. So
sorry, guys. Sorry. I was listening to saliva. I got carried away.
Hesitated.
This is 100% my fault.
So after everybody left, they're thinking, all right, coast is clear, right? We're going to take a nap. Everybody's had a long evening fighting aliens, goblins, whatever. 3:30 in the morning, Glennie wakes up to see another one of these sumbitches staring through her bedroom window. This obviously causes her to scream out to Lucky, who was asleep on the couch in the next room over. He wakes up Billy Ray. They get the sticks.
Get back at it, huh?
Yeah, and they get ready to go out on guard. The goblins kept up this onslaught right where they left off, looking through the windows, scratching on the walls, running across the roof for a few hours up until daybreak. As soon as light came, that was it. Done. That would be the last the family ever seen of them or heard of them. The authorities returned the next morning to see if they can gather any evidence in the daylight, but there wasn't. The family was questioned again, and all of their stories lined up. It should be noted that others in the area also reported seeing strange lights in the woods that night. It also should be noted on the other side of the coin, there was an annual meteor shower going on, so there were strange lights in the sky anyway, but the fact that this one seemingly was in the woods, landed, and had robot goblins come out of it.
Yeah, that's typically not in your normal meteor shower.
No.
At least to our knowledge.
No. I also made a note here that this encounter, the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, is actually mentioned in Project Blue Book. The government.
Interesting.
They are completely dismissive of it and claim that it is a hoax. But it's odd that they choose this case that also involves the military to be the one that they pick out to say, don't believe this one.
Right.
This one's horseshit.
I don't know. That is weird. That is something to contemplate over.
Yeah.
Because was this the trial run? Was this, you know, and we've heard stories. I think Greer talks about manufactured aliens, you know, them being mechanical internally. With a biological look to them.
Yeah, I like that you called that out immediately, that they kind of almost had a protocol for this, because a little bit here, we got a guy in recent times that really put boots on the ground and we're doing some stuff. And
interesting.
It begs to question what was going on. So, as with many encounters, people swarmed the home the following week of Glennie, looking for evidence of the encounter, stealing things from the home as souvenirs like tools and shotgun shells and this, that, and the other. Press photographers were everywhere taking a picture.
Let's not lie. It would be cool to have one of the shells.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have the door that was blasted through.
We just hang a screen door on the right here in front of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't great for our family here, because neighbors and townsfolk claimed that the gun battle was completely fictional, drummed up for possible, attention and celebrity, that the sightings was blamed on them drinking too much moonshine, which, hey, Hollow Cult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means, it's cryptid hunting season, and the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. According to the family, Glennie, being a Christian woman, ran a dry house. Nobody was to be drinking.
Well, I thought you were
on the premises.
Say it was a distillery.
Well, it may have also been a distillery, but
yeah, I mean, I just don't like. A lot of people use that excuse, right? That you do it for fame, and I don't really know too many cases where they're just huge. They're rich. They're famous.
Most people either don't want to talk about it, or their lives are ruined.
That's what I mean. Like, you don't hear any positive cases of people coming forward with their UFO encounters. People in the community will praise said people, like your Travis Walton, even Mr. Bledsoe. Those people do have, a sense of being famous, if you will, but it's not to the degree that the intention would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like people view it as like, oh, Steve's, he's just trying to be a movie star. He's trying to be famous and rich. And it's why he fabricated this UFO story with these little crab machine things. And this, I mean, they floated like hoverboards from Back to the Future and
backflipped across.
Yeah. I don't know that I buy that, because that to me is just a really dumb explanation of a fucked up situation.
Yeah, and they seem to be like salt of the earth people, you know, just living out, living on the farm.
Yeah.
A couple of them work for the carnival, just trying to make ends meet. Right. You know, like building this whole entire story just seemed like a whole thing. But the onslaught of negativity from the community got so bad, it was reported that within 10 to 15 days, they just decided to move out of town.
That sucks.
The newspapers at the time spun the story a lot, embellishing it with such details like the entities being green when all reports said they were silver. The family reported 3 to 4 of these beings when the newspaper spun it to 15 to 20. Ironically enough, this specific encounter set off the boom of the Little Green Men movement.
And I was also going to say, being a part of Blue Book and such, like, you know, like the way they were spinning it, they were spinning it in a context of it's far worse than what it actually was. Like when you said from 4 to 15, I'm like, that's like invasion. Like,
that's a big pop.
Yeah, but it would make you like, because imagine it being worded in that way and being and making people think that there could be little essentially platoons or battalions of these little fuckers out there.
Oh,
like that has invasion written all over it.
Yeah, because they said that per the family, they were only seen in singulars except for the one time where they saw the one perched in the tree and the other one came around the corner of the building.
Yeah, so you couldn't actually verify how many were there or not. Also, very strange that they change the skin color.
Right?
That's probably one of the more... Like, I can understand the stretching of the truth with the numbers, but the changing the color is inconsequential to the entire story. Like, it doesn't... Why does that matter?
It's almost like the media was trying to spin its own narrative, because if you look at the time, it's within about a decade of Roswell and the alien flap starting to really take off, so why not add another layer to it?
Right.
Little green aliens.
Yeah, it definitely feels purposely fabricated.
Yeah.
Like they may have been hand in hand, because, you know, the military always has a big hand in those situations. They have high influence, I'll say.
Yep. It goes on to talk about some of the articles I found, how it affected the lives of the family that were involved, right? A lot of the men lost their jobs. They just couldn't, like, it caused a real psychological rift in what they saw. They couldn't go back to work. Their marriages kind of fell apart, which you hear a lot of in people that have these encounters, especially when they go public. Geraldine Sutton Stith, the daughter of Elmer, didn't even learn about her family's encounter with the little creatures until almost 20 years later, when a pair researching the incident tracked down her father and started asking questions. It was so bad to the people in there that they didn't even like pass it down to their children. Like it wasn't even like a story that was told around the campfire or right. anything. Almost like they wanted to wash their hands.
Yeah. And it. For the children, it was kind of ignorance is bliss. Let's just keep them hidden from the truth. So like eventually down our lineage, it's going to disappear. Like we'll hopefully. Be able to fly underneath the radar at some point.
Yeah. Hopefully this will go away.
And that in itself is fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
That not even rumblings like you, like if you and me were involved, like not us drinking a beer out the back and being like, hey man, you remember that night when them damn goblins showed up? And then maybe your kid, we're not having this conversation.
It's almost like an indication of like either severe trauma or they were told to shut the fuck up about it.
It's probably a mix of both, because a lot of people probably can't handle that. Because you know the community was probably relatively tight-knit back then. Everybody knew everybody. And to have that amount of people turn on you, it has suck.
It'd be awful.
Yeah.
And it's kind of consistent with people who have these experiences. I mean, you listen to the regress memory audio of Barney Hill. That dude is terrified remembering that encounter.
Well, and that's another thing too, you know, put yourself in their shoes. Like we laugh and joke because of all the things that happened, but to be caught in that moment in reality,
dude, it'd be terrible.
Fuck yeah, it would.
It'd be terrible
having these unknown things, like arguably quote unquote breaking into your house, you know, obviously could be debated on that, but that would be your perception of the situation.
Yeah. They're in your space. If they're at your front door, they're as good as being inside.
Yes, exactly. And having children inside, there's another one that you got to
look kids.
Yeah. You got to look out for the kids. And so it just breeds this traumatizing situation that sucks for everybody involved.
Yeah.
And you know, the everybody did what they thought they could to solve the problem, even though they, like, you're literally witnessing something that should not fucking exist right now. This should not be in my frame of reality.
And after the first run-in that you can't protect yourself from.
Yeah, that's even scarier.
You've exhausted all options.
Yeah, because they were shooting up a storm and... If that first one they would have put it down, they would have most likely been 15 times less scared.
Oh yeah,
of that situation. At that point, it's good old boys hunting.
You take a 20 gauge, you shoot it through a door. You got to figure you're probably within 6 to 8 feet, maybe 10.
Oh sure, easy. Yeah.
And that thing takes direct fire from a shotgun, and just says, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to backflip off into the woods.
Watch this backflip.
Skirt. That would be terrifying. The theories are wild, and the more you think about it, it's almost like to deter the family even more. The one that is the most popular that you will hear over and over and over again, specifically in this case, and... oddly enough, it does tie in to the extraterrestrial community being owls. What they were seeing.
What the fuck?
Were owls.
That is a terrible. No, that is a fucking wretched. Like whatever descriptive word I could use as being the absolute worst theory ever. I would much rather somebody have said this was a cause of the moon landing.
They pull up side by side comparisons. So this was an artist rendering of the creature.
Right.
Long ass arms. And they're like, it was these great horned owls.
Identical yeah. to an owl.
And it's not.
No, no, not at all. You, like the side-by-side cut there, you kind of see slight resemblance. But how forced is that? And
the only thing is the yellow eyes, essentially. I can see the tufts of hair being mistaken for yeah. long ears
yeah.
and the yellow eyes. But like it literally has arms.
Yeah.
Owls don't fucking have well,
and
arms.
The, and not to mention they described the hands.
Yeah, with claws.
Yeah.
Owls have talons on their feet.
Yeah.
But we're going back to this. So,
and I don't think owls backflip.
No, I just wanted to show you that. And they're not fucking bulletproof.
That's also true.
It was reported idea. That it was well known that a family of aggressive great horned owls resided in the forest near the residence.
Oh, was it now?
Leading many to claim that the family simply mistook the identity of the owls as strange goblin creatures.
I'm calling 150% bullshit on that.
I knew that would get you fucking
There's no
up.
Fucking way. When is... Okay, for all you nature freaks out there, how often do packs of owls fly around tormenting people? I've got to know this. If this is a fact, I need to know this because I've never heard of this in my entire life.
Yeah. People went forward to say the incident is now commonly explained as either an elaborate hoax or perhaps more charitably, the group was shocked by the meteor shower in a state of panic and lightly intoxicated with moonshine, confused a pair of aggressive great horned owls, which are common in the area, as an extraterrestrial menace.
I love it.
Like I said,
this is the most logical explanation.
There are certain aspects of these creatures that could be confused. We talked yellow eyes.
Yeah.
The pointy ears. The fact that it was perched in a tree and it essentially floated away. But like owls got to flap their wings to get some momentum. You're not just going to hover around like I okay. wrote in here.
Well, how do you explain the ting noises then when you shoot them?
Shoot them in the beak.
Okay. Well, that's solved.
Terminator owls.
For sure. For sure. How do you explain?
They had gold teeth.
Floating off like a hoverboard.
They had gold teeth.
That definitely explains the hoverboard. Okay. How do you explain the crab walk? Do owls crab walk? Is that another unknown fact that I don't know about?
All I got to say is I've never seen a Kentucky goblin and a great horned owl in a room at the same time.
This is true.
So I wrote down here, owls clearly don't have long, spindly arms. Which I feel like is your best point.
It's pretty true.
The size of the creatures reported were actually bigger than the size of great horned owls.
But they were drunk, Steve.
The largest great horned owls were a little over 2 feet, where these things were reported to be three and a half to four feet.
I was say almost 4 foot tall.
Yeah, so they're like double the size.
And if I see an owl 4 foot tall, I'm going to fucking be scared of that thing too.
And another thing I put down here, what do animals do when you shoot guns at them?
They die
or they leave.
Yeah.
They don't keep coming back.
No.
And saying, try it again, Lucky.
And that's the thing is they didn't even like... As these things keep coming back, they didn't bring laser cannons. They didn't do anything other than come back, get shot, and float away.
Yeah, and my thing is the first one they saw had its goddamn hands up. And owls don't have hands.
Well, if you shoot at an owl or a bird or a rabbit or anything, how often is it going to run back and go, hey, do it again?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what you guys have going on in Kentucky, but if your owls have arms and hands, goblins are the least of your worries.
Yeah. And wear armor or built like Terminator / T-1000.
Which they are. It gets better though.
How?
Because if owls weren't the perpetrator.
I hope it is not that word that I see right there.
The next on the list is monkeys.
It's a good one.
This goes in two different directions. Unfortunately, I wish it didn't go.
I stand 100% corrected. the owl one is not the dumbest that I've ever heard.
When you said that, I'm like, oh, just wait. Just fucking wait. People actually accused the members of the carnival for bringing monkeys home from work that got out of control. They tried to put down and escaped into the Kentucky wilderness.
You know what? Shame on you people for trying to blame this on the poor carnies.
That's what I'm saying. They just wanted to go have a nice
shame
dinner.
Shame on you.
Not only, they just wanted to go have a nice dinner and play some cards. Not only did they have to battle aliens, robot aliens, gymnastic robot hoverboard aliens, but now they got you trying to push this dumbass narrative on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, carnival monkeys, which I'm not even like, I'm not even gonna go into that any further because it's dumb as shit. But
that
welcome
is,
to
that
the paranormal.
Is stupid.
Alternative explanation suggests that possibly test flight monkeys used in rocket experiments
what?
Crashed in the area.
No. What? Like these just get dumber and dumber.
I don't make the rules.
I can't.
This,
what the fuck?
This brings us to the boots on the ground. Which, I mean,
please tell me they found monkeys.
No. If it was some sort of military crash, that would be like why the military was interested in the first place. So I see where that kind of links itself together.
There's definitely there's definitely a red flag in the fact that homeboy calls every division possible, including the military, and they all go, of course we're going to go look at this.
So there is a person that was reviewing the case. I cannot remember the name, but this is their quote, not mine. They get all the credit if I remembered. They stated, they actually put boots on the ground. So, quote, if you've driven 41A, you know that it's quite a ways between Fort Campbell and Hopkinsville. About a half an hour if you're driving the speed limit. If we follow the timeline established by the Center for UFO Studies, the family fled the house at about 11 p.m. Even speeding, they would have arrived at the police station around 11:15. The police begin to call around to the sheriff, the state police, and according to the center's report, they all waited to the station until everyone began to arrive before heading back to the house. They were back at the house at around a half an hour after they either left their house or arrived at the police station, so somewhere between 11:30 and 11:45. If this is the case, according to the UFO Center, then the military police did not come from Fort Campbell because there wasn't enough time for them to get from Fort Campbell to the police station before the group had already left to go back to the house. If the MPs were able to join the group and go to Kelly with them, then they were already nearby. Why? Why would four MPs be in Hopkinsville after 11 p.m. on a Sunday night? It also should be noted that the direction that Billy Ray reported to see the initial light come into the woods was coming from the direction of Fort Campbell.
Interesting. Interesting. Definitely makes it more plausible that it was some type of military experiment.
It also should be noted that the Evansville Press ran a story on August 22nd, the day after, in which it was reported that, quote, Fort Campbell authorities today sent Major Albert Corin to the scene to investigate. It's pretty, like, a major is a pretty big deal, right?
Right.
Except there doesn't seem to be any Albert Corin in the military in 1955.
So it was a CIA dude.
It's noted that it's not a very common name, and the ones who made it into the Department of Veterans Affairs database all served in World War II and then went home. None of them continued to be part of the military post-World War II.
Regardless of what it was, it sounds like a fucking cover-up.
Yeah. They
whether
came,
it be the military experimenting or the military knew something was in the area and they were preparing for it anyways. They were just kind of waiting for the call.
Once somebody pointed this out, the military came forward and like they were like, yeah, the Evansville Press wrote the name wrong. And the name that they said was the major that was there was like John Albert. which, I mean, they got Albert right, but Albert Corin is very different from, like, John Albert.
Oh, 100%.
You're not even trying. That being said, there are similar reports in the United States of creatures that resemble the Hopkinsville goblins, although they are not necessarily associated with UFOs.
Do you, real quick, do you think that, like, the fucking up on the name, do you think that could be a part of the cover-up? Like, the whole deal, the whole...
Oh, just to make it even more and more outlandish?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because that, like, somebody's going to see the Albert Corin part, somebody's going to see the John Albert part.
Just bring into question.
Yeah, and then you're going to have those two stories meet somewhere down the road, and then it's just going to be... The normal person is going to be like, see, this is an entire bullshit story. Yeah.
The silver aliens are green. Aliens are silver.
Yeah.
The four entities are 20 entities. Like, the whole thing is just so scattered with horseshit.
But it makes you wonder if sometimes those situations, I'm sure in some accounts, they pan out themselves. Like, it's almost like the military just lucks out in the cover-up process. But sometimes I wonder if this shit isn't done on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Just to masterfully muddy the water so much.
Especially when you have witnesses that I feel like some people don't give any credibility to. They're farmers. They're carnies. They're people that just... people that otherwise you would never hear about. You
right. Know what I mean? Yeah.
So it almost makes it easier for them to swap up the narrative and muddy the waters.
Yeah.
I just noted that other creatures that are similar would be the Dover Demon from Dover, Massachusetts, a small gray humanoid creature with a large bulbous head, elongated thin limbs that allow it to quickly climb trees. It's reported that indigenous people of the Chippewa, Cree, and Ojibwa tribes around Montana share a similar story about a race of small troublemakers known as the Managishi or the Mimagwese. Once again, a race described of having bulbous heads, elongated limbs, and piercing yellow eyes. Another part that people overlook is the weird glowing sheen on the ground, that which you would think would be a pretty big deal. Like, that's evidence that you need to collect, but I guess none of the military, none of the police thought to take samples of this thing?
No.
Because the best that anybody can do is that... this illumination is consistent with foxfire, a bioluminescent fungus on decaying wood.
Cool. Yeah.
That's that. I mean, at least they didn't say it was a fucking weather balloon.
Or a monkey.
Yeah. You would think, like, if there was glow-in-the-dark mushrooms growing around the farm... that would be the first thing they pointed out. And they would have noticed it before the robots attacked their home.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting toward the end here, and I just made note of how the encounter changed the landscape of the UFO community and is still alive in pop culture today. According to Wikipedia, in the late 1970s, Steven Spielberg was going to use the event as a basis for a movie called Night Skies, an unproduced science fiction horror film. In 1986, the comedy horror The Critters, loosely based on the events. Something a little more close to us today, the Pokemon Sableye, introduced in Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, is based on the goblins described in the event, even to the point to where in the animation it kind of sways, which was also reported of the creatures when they were in the trees. They were just kind of swaying there.
Interesting.
Pathfinder role-playing game for all you nerds out there. Hopkins is a type of gremlin in the Bestiary 5 book and is based upon the goblins in the event. Unfortunately, for the people that experienced it that didn't want to have to think about this anymore, the Kelly community celebrates the event annually with Little Green Men Festival Days.
Interesting.
Also, it was brought up here within the last 4 or 5 years by our friends the Newkirks in the documentary Hellier, where in the town of Hellier, an anonymous person sends emails of weird goblin-like creatures coming from the caves. Is Hellier close to Hopkinsville? No, it's not. It's about 5.5 hours away. But it is said that there is a series of underground caves, which I guess are all caves underground, not necessarily, that run from one end of Kentucky to the next. Essentially could be a home for these critters, which could link the two together. So that's it. That is our take on the goblins. Kyle, what are you feeling?
Hey, I fuck with the story. I haven't actually heard the full legitimate story before. So that was a fun.
Probably because it doesn't exist because media's fucked it up so bad.
Yeah. But I definitely feel the more I sit and ponder on it, the more I'm leaning one of two ways. In either way, the military's involved.
Why else would they be in the area?
100%. Either they're the perpetrators of the entire event, or it was one of them where they had been monitoring UFO activity or a particular UFO, and they were sending people out into the area, and this all transpired, and then they worked against it to cover it up, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, I 100% feel like the military is involved in some way, shape, or form. And the fact that it's considered in the Blue Book as horseshit, right? Isn't that what you said? Yeah. That this is a complete bullshit case. Well, guess what? So wasn't the 1947 Roswell crash. That was a fucking weather balloon. And you see how that singular event literally shaped the entire UFO community and UFOs in general. And now it's to the point where everybody knows 1947 was a fucking UFO crash.
Yeah. Some other theories that I didn't put in because I don't know. I should have put them in, I guess. But one was that the military did lose something down kind of off the tree line in this little valley that could have possibly stirred the owls up, causing them to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Keeping them from going back into their little place. Another one was that this possibly could have been some sort of test with an MK Ultra like drug. The light they saw could have been the military spraying whatever this is over the family. You've got a confined kind of space here out in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. You got a real small test group. They put this shit down, sees what happens. You know, essentially there's no evidence of these creatures being there, but everyone in the home shared the same story, this bizarre, group hallucination.
That's one I could fuck with. I can fuck with that theory.
Cause I mean, the timeline's kind of MK Ultra-ish.
Oh, for sure.
So it's weird.
I could definitely see that being a reality, and it still kind of takes back to what I said about one way or the other. Military's involved. It's too bizarre to me that homeboy, that was the first thing he did. He's like, I'm calling state boys, I'm calling the military, I'm calling everybody in on this. And they all just go, absolutely, we're coming.
Yeah. Because that's a pretty big response for somebody for some good old Kentucky boys just shooting guns. You know what I mean?
Well, and how many, yeah. Where it's a normal occurrence down there. But how many other stories have we heard where they've gone to the police and confessed something like this and the police just laugh at them?
Oh, yeah.
Or they're like, you're on fucking drugs.
Don't even, we're not even going to spend time to put boots on the ground out there because we got other things we got to be doing.
Exactly.
It's a weird encounter. And I feel for the family that had to go through it, and especially the ridicule they received.
Yeah.
For this event, I hate that there is that stigma about the paranormal where people are immediately out of their mind. It sucks. Some of the articles I used, there's an article in the Washington Post, Country Living Magazine did a really great write-up of all places. There is a column in the Courier Press, NashvilleScene.com had a good write-up. There was a podcast that I listened to that I cannot remember the name of, because I always forget it. It's one that I listen to quite often. I will look here and try to find it, because I just should. And bear with me here. Talk amongst yourselves. I can't find it. If I find it, I will gladly shout them out in a future episode. I don't think they do anything anymore. It's an older podcast. But, yeah. Anyway, my bad for not writing that down. That's it. There it is.
That was good.
Night Shift chat. Our take on the Kelly Hopkinsville goblins. Something went down out there. And I don't think it had to do with liquor.
No, I don't either. Or owls. Or monkeys.
The monk, I knew when you said owls was the dumbest. I said, oh.
I got one for you.
Pump the brakes there, bud. So check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Hope work goes good. Everybody stay safe. Stay weird. And if anyone lives around the town of Hopkinsville or Kelly and have attended the Little Green Men Days, holler at us. Let us know how they are. Or if you plan on going, let us know, because it would be interesting to see how that goes down.